On human settlements, development grant. It's figures, should I read them?
Oh, figures. Are we going to look at these figures?
That you must change this margin so that the table spreads out a bit. If you look at that figure for Free State, for example, the last column there, it says 6. So there's something wrong, and probably if he expands the margin, the full figure, maybe it's hidden somewhere there.
Whether this from Eastern Cape was it 1,600,000 then or 1 billion?
No, it looks like 1 million.
1 million.
Billion. If you look at the total adjusted on top, they say it's thousands. So it's 1.6 billion.
1.6 billion.
Don't forget it's a 16 billion budget, so
1.6 billion.
Oh, okay. But do you seem to remember that before this human settlement development grant, was it no just checking for the Eastern Cape, okay, fine.
For the Eastern Cape, have you taken note of that?
Yes, I did.
Anything in with respect to the figure?
No. I'm showing him that. If you check,
this is all unspent.
Okay.
Anything there?
Right. Chair, the only thing is, I think we must just avoid having a table broken from one page to another. Rather put in a space so we get the full table on the next page or something. Just makes a lot more sense that way.
Oh, it would make
a
sense,
but
yeah. Not to break
the table.
You see, this is an interesting table. I don't think we've seen anything like this before. If you look at this, it gives you target service sites and completed service sites.
Mm.
Houses targets and completed houses. Which we haven't had before. But I don't know whether that the target would only be for the year, I would imagine. It's not the total backlog that there is. And I think we're still missing that figure. Even although they've given us this, we're still missing what our backlog is in the table.
In the backlog.
And also, Chair, was this the service site target, the 8,000 for the year? And service sites completed was 12,979. Was it for a year, the whole province? Yeah, for the whole province.
That is service sites, yeah.
It's service sites for delivery, which means it's for the year.
It's from the 50th to the
11th.
It's for the year.
Right, is it anything else?
consideration of reports of committee on public accounts. Still to request a copy of the report from SCOPA. Consideration of other sources of information, the State of the Nation Address. The 2010 State of the Nation Address highlighted the following key strategy objectives.
Just in terms of the SCOPA report, are we actually still going to get, did we ask for one? Are we going to get it? Because there is something in the report about SCOPA report, SCOPA resolutions. And, you know, perhaps we should put something related to those resolutions in our report.
What is it saying?
There's a lot of resolutions from SCOPA that the department has not responded to, I think. So there will be something else from SCOPA.
So, well, why should you release the people check this check from now? Check on page 226. Now, the service size completed. The target was from page 26. For Free State was 7,351, but services as I said completed is none.
The State of the Nation Address, the 2010 State of the Nation.
Page 135, SCOPA resolution. It says what the resolution was and it says progress, and we can extract maybe from there. Some of it was addressed and some of it not.
Or somewhere addressed.
The 2010 State of the Nation address highlighted the following key strategic objectives that are pertinent to human settlements. One, spending $846 billion on public infrastructure, upgrading well-located informal settlements, and providing proper service and land tenure to at least 400,000 households by 2014. Setting up a guarantee fund of $1 billion to incentivize the private banking and housing sector to develop new products to meet the housing demand, implementing the comprehensive rural development program.
I'm just making a note that we're putting this, parking this off on the back of, for our observations. This has got to be broken down into units per province, per municipality even. We need to know how many units this is going to break down and the finances that are going to go with this. From the State of the Nation. You know, it's no use us keep on getting these globular amounts. We need that broken down into service delivery in the provinces. How much delivery is going into the provinces for them to be able to give to municipalities so that they get. So it'll be in our observation, our comments at the end of the report.
At the end.
Yes.
Reports of the National Planning Commission and the Ministry and the Presidency, performance monitoring and evaluation, awaiting presentation for tomorrow. Yes. Reports of the Auditor General of South Africa, the Financial and Fiscal Commission. Mr. B. Kumalo, Acting Chairperson of the Commission, led the delegation and outlined the presentation. He informed the committee that the Commission's specific focus on Department of Human Settlements strategic plan. Look at the achievements and expenditure outcomes. The Commission also drew the attention of the committee to the progress and recommendations made. The Commission reported on selected strategic objectives for 2010-11 of the department. It was indicated that a target of 220,000 housing units per annum was delivered. It was reported that the actual delivery was not specified by the department in its annual report, but a number of 121,879 housing completed in the website of the department.
Just going to say again just a sentence. It was reported that the actual delivery was not specified by the department in its annual report, but and this is where it's got to change a bit, a number of, but I would suggest but 121,879 completed houses are reported on the website of the department.
Oh yes, they're not in the report.
Yeah. And then, Chair, while we're on this, if I may just, in the heading 7.3, we talk about reports of the Auditor General of South Africa and the FFC. And then we go into the thing which presumably is the FFC. Mr. Kumalo was from the FFC. So it's just a bit confusing. We talk about two entities, and then we jump immediately to the second one that's in the heading. So we either do it one by one, or we then indicate 731, the FFC, and 732, the Auditor General. Or 731, the Auditor General.
Oh, no, I told them to correct
or we do them separately. 7.3, the Auditor General. 7.4, the FFC.
7.4, but it is the Auditor General's report.
Yeah, quite
common.
Then 7.4.
This is the Auditor General's report.
And
no, then it must just come out of the, yeah, then it will just come out of the heading here. It's just be the Financial and Fiscal Commission.
Yeah.
Under 7.3.
You are quite right, Mr. Chair. Continue on, please.
Selected Department of Strategic Objectives for 2010-11. Target 220,000 housing units per annum. Actual delivery not specified in the annual report. 121,879 housing completed. That is reflected on the Department of Human Settlements website. Facilitates 80,000 affordable social and rental units over 2010-11. Target not specified per annum. It is difficult to ascertain the progress under this objective as the department does not differentiate between units under construction, completed, and handed over to beneficiaries. Access to basic service rollout, Free State Sanitation Strategy to 30% municipalities. The FDSS rolled out to 63% of municipalities. To serve 7,418 households through accelerated community infrastructure program, and 11,000 households through the Rural Household Infrastructure Program, 8,426 households were served through ACIP, and 5,580 through Rural Housing Infrastructure Program. With regard to Human Settlements Development Grant, an overall high level of aggregate expenditure, 98.6% of total adjusted budget, But in the in-year reallocation of funds away from Free State, less 263,000 or 20%, KwaZulu-Natal, less 80,000 or 2.9%, and Northwest, less than 100,000 or 7.8%, of voted allocation. Material underspending of the Rural Household Infrastructure Grant, the grant underspent by 38,386,000 or 38.4% of total allocation. The department violated DORA. The accounting officer did not complete and submit to the National Treasury the compliance certificate as required by Section 10.1A of DORA 2010 by 15 April 2011 in respect of the Rural Household Infrastructure Grant. Progress on the past
okay. Just in terms of the way we've got the table, that heading, I think we must take out department and just say selected strategic objectives. And then obviously I think you picked up on the correction for, but in the year. But during the year, a reallocation of funds.
Thank you.
The FSC's previous work has revealed that the current institutional arrangements, funding, and some of the policy issues relating to the delivery of housing have to be reviewed. FSC has made a number of recommendations pertaining to policy, especially the accreditation of municipalities based on the on their capacity to administer housing program, funding, and institutional issues over the past years. The FSC felt that the process of accreditation is very slow, and to date, not a single municipality has been accredited with level 3. Only 6 metros have been given level 2 accreditation. The number of municipalities accredited in 2010-11 remains at 18, same number as in 2009-10 financial year. On social and rental housing, the FFC recommended relaxation and flexibility on eligibility criteria for accessing social housing and restructuring conditional grant to allow projects falling outside of the zone to access funding. Number of designated restructuring zones are to access demand for rental housing and minimum unit size for redevelopment of existing building. A progress has only been made with respect to increasing numbers of DRZs, as according to the annual report, there is 75 DRZs in total. Consideration should be given to link new housing subsidies with MIG and LESS formula to ensure that LES allocation keep pace with the installation of new housing infrastructure, among other things. FSC's recommendations for 2012-13 and the impact on efficiency land use. In its annual submission for the 2012-13 dollar, the FSC has highlighted a number of issues on inefficient land use and the current funding for built environment, which is uncoordinated and not supported the delivery of integrated and sustainable human settlements. The FFC stated that land use is key to addressing some of the challenges indicated by the National Department of Human Settlements, that the housing subsidy program has continued to entrench segregated spatial patterns, marginalizing the poor from economic opportunities. On the issue of comparison between the compact city and sprawling city, the FFC highlighted that city efficiency costing model has shown that a sprawling city is more costly than a compact city, and that cost saving in a compact relative to sprawling city amount to 7% after 10 years. If this is extrapolated to 6 metros, saving amount to approximately 1.4% of GDP by year 10. There are significant energy savings in a compact city compared to a sprawling urban form. Carbon emissions are 22% less carbon resulting from more efficient public transport and less traveling. The FFC stated that government should actively and specifically pursue development of a more spatial compact urban form of city for city by developing and adopting appropriate policies and financing instruments. And specific fiscal instruments include wider use of development charges in financing infrastructure associated with the land development process, public transport subsidies that specifically target high-density, low-income areas.
Just quick correction there. That sentence above the last two bullet points, fiscal instruments including, I think it should be including.
Fiscal incentives for urban land development projects located within the existing urban forms, fiscal incentives to promote densification and infill development. It was further stated that government should also conduct a broad-based review of the efficacy of current housing finance arrangements in meeting housing needs within the context of creating sustainable and more compact human settlements. FFC's issue for future consideration. Built environmental related grant have an urban focus and ignore rural challenges and settings. Little infrastructure delivery taking place in rural areas, limited capacity to deliver in rural areas, and interventions are not appropriately targeted. There is a lack of information on the performance, non-financial data of rural household infrastructure grant. Reporting formats makes it difficult to understand the actual delivery in some instances, as, for example, units completed under construction are combined. The overall spending of the department is 98.8%. However, there is a concern that some programs, housing policy, research and monitoring and strategic relations and governance underspent by 25% and 40% respectively. The Auditor General report, the Department of Human Settlements received an unqualified audit opinion for the 2010-11 financial year. There are a number of factors that inform the opinion of the AG when granting a qualified or unqualified audit opinion to the departments. In conducting the analysis, the AG looks at the following issues. Compliance or non-compliance with law and regulations by the department. This includes factors such as whether the department complies with policies, PFMA, supply chain policy, etc. Governance infrastructure, among other, the audit committees within the department, whether they are functional or not, the internal financial control system such as the risk management committee, and etc. The predetermined objectives that the department set itself to achieve during the period under review, reliability of information, expenditure management, and the internal controls of the department. However, the issues that are of concern that were raised by the AG in the audit report for the period under review.
I just wanted, for the purpose of this report, is it necessary for us to actually put this whole thing in here about what the AG report, you know, what we really are concerned in this report about is the report of the AG on the department. You know, what it is that they cover, I don't think that that is necessary.
So what we need to do, we need to have a minute, just a minute on this issue. I mean, we need to have a minute of this, of that those sessions. It's not going to be very extensive, just to say here are the issues that we discussed, and then the one, this information can get in there. I'm trying to say I'm agreeing with you that it must not come in here.
No.
But we need to have a set of minutes aside of the processes.
Yes, I hear what you're saying, in a minute.
Yes.
But it doesn't have to be in this report. Only
that's what I'm saying.
Yeah. So the last of the sentence, there are, however, issues that are of concern that were raised, I don't think that is necessary.
However, issues that are of concern were raised
by the AC in the
oral.
Yes.
In fact, we're just changing even this.
Yeah.
So where do we start? The human settlements received an unqualified audit opinion.
Yeah. The financial year.
Yes.
Yeah. And then I think that you
let me stop there.
You stop there, and then you go the Auditor General due attention to the following issues.
I want to suggest that we, I like the words that the Auditor General uses, Chair, and that is emphasis of matter. And that we say something, however, the following matters or emphasis of matter were raised by the Auditor General.
Okay. Continue.
The Auditor General drew attention to the following issues. Claims against the department. The AG flagged the issue of lawsuit that were brought against the department and the budget that is stated as a contingency liability for the value of 4.9 million. Irregular expenditure. The department incurred irregular expenditure of 12.1 million, which was in contravention of the PFMA Treasury regulation relating to supply chain management and public service regulations. Material underspending of the Rural Household Infrastructure Grant. The department has materially underspent the budget on Program 4, Subprogram Rural Infrastructure Development, to the amount of 38 million of a total allocation of 100 million. As a consequence, the department failed to achieve some of its objective, providing sanitation services to rural communities. Annual financial statements, performance, and annual reports. The accounting officer submitted financial statements for auditing that were not prepared in all material aspects in accordance with generally recognized accounting framework prescribed by the National Treasury as required by Section 40.1A and B of the PFMA. Expenditure management, the payment due to creditors were not always settled within 30 days from receipt of an invoice, as per the requirement of the Section 381F of the PFMA Treasury Regulation. Procurement and contract management, invitations for competitive bidding were not advertised for a minimum period of 21 days, as per the requirement. Transfer of funds and or conditional grant, the accounting officer did not complete and submit to the National Treasury the compliance certificate as required by Section 101A of Division Revenue Act No. 1, 2010 of DORA by 15 April 2011 in respect to the Rural Household Infrastructure Grant.
Okay,
Leah,
you mean that usefulness?
On page 140. Why did you miss it? That says predetermined objectives. Because, for instance, yes, in accordance with the PAA and in terms of general notice, the that gazette issued in Government Gazette, I include below my findings on the annual performance report as set out on page 17 to 118, and material non-compliance with laws and regulations applicable to the department. That is the statement by the AG. And then he continues to say predetermined objectives. Then, usefulness of information. The reported performance information was deficient in respect of the following criteria. Measurability. The targets are not measurable. The following audit findings relate to the above criteria. For the selected indicators, 29% of the planned and reported targets were not measurable in identifying the required performance. Reliability. The reported performance information was deficient in respect of the following criteria. Validity. The reported performance did not occur and does not pertain to the entity. The following audit findings relate to the above criteria, which is reliability. Sufficient appropriate evidence to support the reasons for major variances between the planned and the actual reported targets could not be obtained. Therefore, 40% of the reasons for the major variances could not be verified. For 48% of the selected material reported targets, the source information or evidence provided was not valid. Why did you decide to leave this behind?
Chairperson, I don't understand. If we say the department received an unqualified opinion, audit opinion, then thereafter we put all this.
That's
okay.
Our question again.
Yeah.
Honourable was raising the issue of why the Auditor General gave a status so unqualified of a clean audit. Yet there's quite a lot of issues. But so you were there, you asked those questions. So I would suggest that let's put them as a concern as the portfolio committee. Mr. Singh?
Chairperson, I just want to go to the top of page 30, where the AG flagged the issue of lawsuits that were brought against the department. I want to suggest that, and the budget that is must be deleted. If it's brought against the department, it implies if they have to pay, it's against the budget. So we just take out the words "and the budget." So it reads, against the department stated as a contingency liability. The department, against the department stated as a contingency liability.
Oh.
We take out those other few words. And then I want to add on what you said, Chairperson. There's a number of other things here that I think must be raised here. For example, the expenditure management. We've only copied what is in the book as clause 23, payments due to creditors. What we have not said there is the accounting officer did not take effective and or appropriate steps to prevent irregular expenditure. I think that was coming. And then also the leadership issues at the bottom there. Everything that the AG put in the report, I think, must be taken verbatim from the report.
What we were saying, the question you are raising is the question that was asked, and that guy, he was unable to respond. I'm telling you. But we are agreeing as the portfolio committee that we need to comment about the status of clean audit. That we, yes, Auditor General has given them a clean audit, but on the side of oversight, we are not pleased because we believe that a lot of omissions have been, yes. So we don't expect the department is to get a clean audit, whereas. And then that guy raised to say, if they admit that they've done a mistake, so that is not regarded as a qualified report. So what we are saying, admission or no admission, the fact remains that you have not followed the procedure. The fact of the matter, you have not followed the procedure. Whether you agree or you deny. So, so we're going to put it.
So,
So I think so the
you're following by the oversight report. That is what I said. We have to clean these things. Let's take the critical issues. So,
Portfolio Committee on Human Settlements undertook an oversight visit to KwaZulu-Natal province during the second term of the parliamentary program as from 27th February to 4th March 2011. The objectives of the visit were to, and not limited to the following, to hold briefing sessions.
Chair, I just want to ask if we've already approved these reports, have we not? Is there any point in us having to read them point by point again, and perhaps just...
With your permission, Chairperson, Mr. Tambuza was actually suggesting that we trim the recommendations because there are many. So what basically she was saying was that we choose the critical ones only because so that we try to shorten them, because as I was putting them together, I saw them as being too many, and I did not want to cut anything without your permission as the portfolio committee.
Okay.
Thanks.
Then
Are you saying these bullet points are only a portion of what is in the original report? Because what Member Bowman is suggesting is that if they're in the original report, then we just accept them as a report that we adopted. But are you saying that you've only taken out selected ones?
No. He has not selected anything. He just put them as they are. But what is not here? It's the report from the for Free State visit. That one for we were preparing for
People
Assembly. So we still have to put them here.
Chair, what Member Bowman was suggesting that if this is taken from the report which have been adopted already, that we accept it and we don't have to go through them one by one in this meeting now, in the interest of time, because it comes from a report adopted by the committee already. So I was just checking whether he's in fact just taken them from that report, in which case we just go go to the next page.
All right, fine. Okay. It's an original. Then,
the government has adopted 12 outcomes as its key focus of work. Each outcome has a set of measurable outputs. Outcome 8 aims to provide, including children access in terms of departments, the aim is to achieve eradication of sanitation backlog 1 year prior to the target specified by MDG 7. Sustainable human settlements, and improved quality of household life are defined. Access to adequate accommodation, access to basic services, security of tenure, access to social services. Outcome 8 is of critical importance for various reasons. Firstly, it is a requirement of the Constitution and the Bill of Rights. It is core to human dignity, okay, and social stability, and is a key enabler of health, education, and social cohesion outcomes. Lastly, with good planning, it can also serve as a catalyst for economic development and job creation. Ultimately, the outcomes of the national effort around human settlements must be seen in the context of social and transformation and wealth, as well as meeting the objectives of rolling back under development. So, this is our MDG report. Yes. So, I am sure you have just taken it as it is, Liepo.
Yes.
Yeah, okay. All right. Okay. Then, this one still relates to MDG. 39. So, these are, then what is prior BRRR? What is this? So we need to insert up a Free State report. I mean, somewhere before MDGs. Before MDGs. We need to insert yes. And then we come up with what is 7.5 LEAP?
Chairperson, there's a template that everyone who does the BRRR follows. It is stipulated for across the board. So there are issues that will be applicable to us as a human settlements. There'll be issues that we will not be applicable to us. There's something that I saw here that says prior BRRR. So
I don't know what it's that. Because my template in denial, it ends when we say committee's observation after you have considered all the reports. For instance,
here. We have to consider all those reports that we have considered, and then consideration of other sources of information, which is the MDGs for us, which is MDG report. Then the oversight reports, all those oversight reports. This is consideration of other sources of information. And then the committee's observation, overall committee's observation. And then conclusion and recommendation. So you have started already with your observations. So that prior BRRR, let's delete that one.
Can I just ask something on that, Chair? We did a BRRR report last year. I remember I, unfortunately, for some reason, wasn't in that meeting. Does this not perhaps refer to something that was recommended there that may not have been carried out or something like that in the previous report? Something that was recommended that may still be outstanding? I don't know. I'm just asking.
No, your recommendations are based on this report, not from the previous.
Your recommendations, your observations are based on this report. So if you want to raise issues that were not responded to on that on the previous financial year, what was happening, what should have happened? In fact, our National Treasurer, during the MTBBS, he mentioned that there are issues that have been raised by many committees, but he did not have time to look at those reports. He's going to respond later. So we have never received those responses. So we can just comment on that. We cannot raise them. They can go back and look at that report. But you must put it as a comment. For instance, I think from one of the issues, we have raised the issue of funding. And now the way they've responded, they just put USDG. But without responding to the comments made by the portfolio committee on the previous BRRR report. So I think that comment, you can craft that comment that says, yes, but we still believe that the respective institutions, including Parliament, they owe us a response to the issues that were raised to the previous BRRR report.
Chair, could I just refer you to page 35? My eye just caught this as I was paging here. Right at the top in bold letters, Minister of Public Works to be requested to. Lepo, if you can just take out that should.
Where is it?
At the top of page 35, you've got an in bold heading there that says Minister of Public Works. To be requested to, delete should. Take out should.
Okay.
And then, Chairperson, I just want to bring you up to speed because it might be quite an important thing. And that is when we came to the SCOPA report, we checked it out in the report here, and it would seem that the department had dealt with all of the issues. So we've just taken that out of the report. There's no need for us to put a scope of report in.
No, we need to comment because it is written in those guidelines.
So just to put a comment in that it's all in order.
That one is right. So we need to comment. But the problem, we don't have a SCOPA report. But in terms of the department, they say they've addressed all,
yes.
But we could not source Parliament report from SCOPA, so we can just put it that way. Can you bring a recommendation? Oh, before. I've got responses from
the department. From those issues we requested. The first one was on the preliminary second quarter report, which relates to the outcome aid and cabinet Lekgotla program. So they are saying the following are the matters relevant to the Department of Human Settlements, and the department is in the process of developing an implementation strategy, and the time frames will be aligned to relevant budget provisions in the medium-term expenditure framework, as well as relevant provincial plans. Informal settlements upgrading in the 45 large metropolitan areas, but in the 21 district, and was 45. It was 21 district, the one I was querying. But they are saying 45 large metropolitan areas. But we've got only 6 metros.
8
metros. And large towns and cities. Maybe they've made a mistake. And the projects will cover security of tenure, water, sanitation, public transport, area lighting, electrification, waste management, where applicable social services and amenities such as public open spaces and recreation services will also be included. So this is not a delivery. These things are still going to happen. So I don't think we can consider development of new integrated human settlements and projects to cover housing, municipal services and so on and so on, amongst others. So We requested clarities on some of the issues that were raised in the report. Now here is the response. So I don't think this response is appropriate.
It's appropriate as a concern, Chairperson. That very first paragraph, the department is in the process of developing an implementation strategy. It's 2011. How can they still be in a process of developing an implementation strategy? That's got to be our concern.
Yeah. Okay.
No wonder we don't see human settlements.
We have one part, they have written down something.
Yeah.
And then the other one on policy matters, the FLIS review was specifically aimed at improving its application and implementation in projects for the income group. The timeframes for the planning, funding, and implementation will be determined by the relevant provinces based on the project identified. I will waste of time. That's a waste of time. The provinces are tasked with identifying the pilot sites. The resource implications will be managed by the relevant provinces within available budget allocations. The draft on proposed policy, legislative, and framework reviews to be tabled for consideration by the Minister, MINMEC, and the Portfolio Committee includes the following. I was laughing when I was looking at this one. These people are playing with our minds. Have you seen this thing, Glory? Green paper? Why should they put these things if the Minister has not yet considered them? They are useless. That information for me, if the minister has not yet considered it, why I'm raising this, we are sitting here with Rental Act, we are sitting here
with the Consumer Protection Act, and they said to us, if you remember, they are in our program for this annual program, but then it never materialized. Now they are giving us the list of policies that have not been approved. What are we going to do? Those things have not been approved. So I don't think by the minister. Now they are trying to put now that must fag and that must think and to put it in a the time frame your credit, it will also depend to the portfolio committee.
And I mean, the whole thing about beneficiaries, if you look at 235,
it's not talking about policies and the framework for beneficiary administration. We've been talking about that since 2001.
And they've taken out the issue of cooperatives, yes. And this policy, this thing they are submitting, they are not to submit here. They are not supposed to bring it here now to the portfolio committee.
But Chair, this is more confusing now.
If you look at 5, when you asked about the 40.5 million, they now say that as of 30th of June they spent 3.949 million and not 40.5 million.
But now they are denying it. What do you say?
Just end it.
3.9, not 40.
The information is not reliable.
I think that's what the money can say. Job creation. The department has developed a model which determines number related to job creation, and the model will measure job creation within the group. Where is that model? And we ask those questions here. They don't come up with it. The relevant unit is in the process of assessing the provincial spend and will prepare the quarterly report in due course. And the projected figures will be provided to the portfolio committee in the next quarter. The reporting on this matter will be a quarter in arrears, and where it is possible, the relevant category. Sanitation.
Yeah.
The information requested will
yes.
be provided in due course.
How can we ever measure anything? And the auditor's report, the FSC, everybody coming here talking about
this vision. Chair, as I said to the committee, these papers are not blank. They something. They're not
playing. You know, Chairperson, whoever's writing these things are not applying their minds. Because under the job creation, they say it will be related to, with specific reference to the departmental grants as well as downstream benefits. But then in the next paragraph, it says they're in the process of assessing the provincial spend. But we've just been given a second quarter expenditure report. So they know what the provincial spend is up to the second quarter.
Members, I don't know. Now I'm tired. I've been looking at this. I've been looking for on this thing. Otherwise, I don't get a sense here. Let's hear what the. Let's hear what the presidency is going to say.
Yeah.
Otherwise, we were not going to depend on the. Otherwise, when I was looking at this, and I said, Mr. Stein, I'm going to give you a homework. Look at this current structure.
If I come in late tomorrow, it's because I've worked until 3 o'clock in the morning.
Listen, Mr. Stein, look at this current structure. And then compare it with this proposed one. And then you tell us why, because for me, it's the same.
What Is that the turnaround strategy?
This is the turnaround strategy. This is the proposed structure, your turnaround strategy. So, can you just so that we can, so that we can be able to comment. And it is not yet finalized according to this report. No. They've submitted it to the public, to the department. But if you look at this progress to date, there are these greens. The greens are telling you that it's completed. It's a draft copy, ne? This is a draft copy. So it's completed. And then there are reds. Red means outstanding. And there are yellows, they are means in progress. So issues that are in progress is develop and plan for execution of new microstructure. Then compare complete competency framework. Then the last one, client input, is still, this is dated 6/10. And then in outstanding migration plan, finalize MS through internal panel meeting, matching and placing process. So I don't know what is going on here. Then macro structure. So I don't know. Guys, this is a committee.
Because the client is a department, it means they haven't given the consultant any input yet. The department is the client.
And if you read thoroughly those consultants' comments, the issues that we have raised as the committee, those lack of intergovernmental, lack of trust from the staff and management, and so on and so on, the consultants have mentioned those issues in their report. The last one. Give me that Lega Shani. The last one. I consulted with the illegal unit in terms of the Free State issue. So there is the response. Then they are explaining there the background and so on and so on. You are familiar with this one. It's not the first time. And then the analysis of the Division of Revenue Act. They are explaining it, what is supposed to be happening. So the those regulations where the accounting officer is required to carry 1, 2, 3, 4, and then illegal conclusion, it's saying, according to the research unit's brief, the Free State Department incurred expenditure not approved in the business plan submitted for the 2010-11 and 2011-12 allocations of the Human Settlements Development Grant. In doing so, the provincial department could be in contravention of 2010 Act, the Division of Revenue, Section 33 and 34 of the 2010 Act would then become applicable, so that the Act could constitute irregular expenditure and final misconduct. Specifically in relation to the 2011-12 expenditure, section 17, subsection 4A, provides for contractual financial commitments that cannot be met due to an allocation being suspended and stopped. It is not clear if the Free State Provincial Department applied to the National Treasury under this section in relation to its 2010-11 unpaid invoices, and if not, why the Provincial Department did not apply. Then, the accounting officer of the Provincial Department must consider the circumstances of this transgression, the extent of the expenditure involved, as well as the nature and seriousness of thereof, and if found sufficiently serious, must institute disciplinary proceedings against the officials involved. Failure to do so would constitute an offence under PMFA. Oversight over the Provincial Department, however, falls within the mandate of the Provincial Legislature. Then Parliament may communicate the above state of affairs to the Provincial Legislature for oversight purposes, which means the Office of the Speaker, presiding officers, must make sure that they meet with the speakers in the Free State, and then this matter should be addressed. So this goes to this recommendation will go to Parliament. As to remedies available to Parliament directly, the Money Bills Amended Procedure and Related Matters Act of 2009 provides in Section 5 for committees of the National Assembly to annually assess the performance of the national departments and to submit budgetary review and recommendation reports on, amongst others, the effectiveness and efficiency of the national department's use of allocated resources. The process can be used to address monies allocated to the provincial department through the Human Settlements Development Grant, as well as to ensure that the national department exercises more effective controls over monies transferred to the provincial departments. Those are the recommendations from the legal unit.
Done our work, yes. But you know, in thinking about this, it's quite difficult, this whole oversight role and province and national and municipalities, because in effect, we are saying we allocate the money from the national, we need to then follow that. The root of that money and have oversight over that. But in effect, we now lose control of this and you know, it gets sort of shunted off back to the province. It's quite a messy business, isn't it? It's not, it's very fudgy, this thing of us all having a finger in the pie. If we're allocating the money, you would think that we would have the responsibility then to make sure that the money is being spent properly and it is doing all these things. But, you know, it's not quite like that.
No, what I think, let's not worry about this thing. We need to discuss, because this thing, we still have an opportunity. If we refer it to Parliament, the presiding officer, which is Parliament, it is the responsibility of Parliament, which is the presiding officers, to ensure that this matter is discussed at a political level by the presiding officers of this Parliament, as well as the presiding officers of that particular province.
So we get feedback on
the, we have to get the feedback on that one. because we have to make a follow-up to the... I think we need to have a meeting. This is a recommendation, but after this, we need to have a meeting with the presiding officer, the speaker himself. I don't know about this matter.
You don't want to know what I'm thinking. I'm thinking we must. I was going to ask in one of our recommendations that we put the NHBRC under administration. I'm thinking we must put the department under administration. But, Chair, I think you should also, we must look at this, obviously, and you need to raise it with your counterpart in the province, as well as perhaps SCOPA in the province. They need to call that department, provincial department, and they need to explain. What is of concern to me is paragraph 5, where it actually says, not only was this purchase not provided for in their business plan and thus not approved, but during a special technical MinMec sitting, Free State was warned that such a purchase would contravene the conditions of the grant, which means the minister was aware of it, the DG was aware of it. And they warned Free State, they went ahead anyway. So somebody should have done something at that time. I would have thought that the national department is the department that transfers the money should actually have put their foot down there and then and said, but it's a conditional grant, you therefore cannot use it for X, Y, Z.
What could be
NHBRC
doing on this?
What national?
What can you recommend? What is the contravention?
Well, there is a contravention. It really becomes irregular expenditure. And that presumably will go to SCOPA, and then they need to come up with a recommendation whether the people responsible are held accountable or whether it's just going to be condoned. That's ultimately the two options. But clearly irregular expenditure.
So what are
you suggesting? Well, I think we need to discuss it at another meeting, and then we put the report, as you say, to the speaker, with our proposed recommendation, which includes alerting the Free State counterparts.
Even the
SCOPA at the time. SCOPA, yeah, and SCOPA there, and the human settlements in the province.
No, because I discussed with the Minister, the Deeper Minister, they say this matter can be discussed politically at the speaker's forum. But seemingly it won't be related to that because somebody must be responsible. So I think this COPA here in Parliament can say this matter. And this COPA, they normally give them you remember the NQKC. So, this is the issue. Okay, fine. That is the end of your report, but I'm not saying it because my student is actually happy that you bring up the observation and recommendation relating to this. So, the whole of the community.
Thank you very much. The meeting is adjourned.
Thank you.